This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tommy Pham trying to win it for the Pirates here in the 11th. One out, Sawinski at third. Devin Williams on 3-2. Swing and a deep fly to left. That's going to do it. Tommy Pham hits it out of here. Off the wall. That's good enough. Tommy Pham hits it to left for the game winner. Sawinski is in, and the Pirates win in the 11 innings over the Yankees 5-4 today.
Off the wall, and it's good enough. And he's right. It was good enough. We are family. Doran, the people are saying. Pham spelled with a P-H.
Yes.
You know, people used to say fat.
Yes.
Back in the day. That mean cool, right? P-H-A-T, fat.
Mm-hmm.
We are family.
Yeah.
So the Pirates have yet to be swept, as Callis so eloquently said during his show. They have one win in each series, and I'm just going to suggest to them, maybe take 2 out of 3 against the Cards. Maybe find a way to win this series, because it's getting late early. And we can celebrate yesterday's win, and it's nice. Anytime you beat the Yankees, it's nice. Anytime you don't get swept, it's not nice, but it's good. It's necessary. And, man, that might be the word for yesterday's victory, necessary. You lose that game, you're 2-8, but it was the way that they would have lost it. You're up 4-1. You have the Yankees on their final strike, and a guy who's pitched well for you out of the bullpen this year, Ryan Barucki, it looks like he's going to get it done, and you had Santana go in the eighth, and hey, maybe this is how the bullpen's going to shake out with Holderman on the IL now and with David Bednar in AAA, but this bullpen cannot be counted on, man, and the team can't friggin' hit. So while I want to sit here and do backflips and jumping jacks and celebrate a victory over the Yankees, there's still a ton of work to do to get this thing back on track, obviously.
Well, you said that the win was necessary yesterday. I feel like every one of their wins were necessary at the time. It was appropriate that they had to win those games because they were on the verge of getting swept. I think, well, the Marlins series, they won the second game, maybe?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, they were 1-1.
But I mean,
remember
Tampa,
those times when they were at 500?
Right. Like, every win has been necessary, and there's only been three, and has been great, and they wanted to it looks like they wanted to lose yesterday.
Holy cow.
They figure out a way to win in extra innings against the Yankees, and then, you know, it's just not going to get any easier. That's the thing. Like, not that any game is easy for the Pirates or in Major League Baseball, but now you have, you know, your foe coming in and the Cardinals. But the only thing that I look at right now, and tell me if I'm maybe off base right now, but like I look at the division, and nobody's really pulling away.
No, it sucks.
You know, like it's not like somebody's out to a hot start. It's not like they're in the other divisions, like the Giants or the Dodgers, who are like 9-2, 8-1. I mean, the Cubs are in first place; they're 7-5. Brewers are 5-5. Cardinals are 4-5. The Reds are 3-7.
They Pirates can't 3-7. They're a disaster too.
So, like, if it's going to be like it is last year, this division, where it's kind of up for grabs again, you don't have one team or two teams or three teams kind of pulling away, I mean, You gotta figure out something at some point.
Yeah, man. There's a lot to get to this morning, including the overwhelming negativity. Excuse me, in that ballpark on Friday. We need to get into that.
Yeah,
because I can't ever remember it being like that. So we'll get to that in a minute. The Cardinals, they play a doubleheader yesterday. They lose both games to the Red Sox. They got whooped up on 18-7 in the second game. Then he got to get on a flight to Pittsburgh. Maybe they're ripe for the picking right now.
Yeah.
You need to find some even footing here because you're going to get Horowitz. You're going to get Nick Gonzalez. Hopefully you get a refined and rejuvenated David Bednar. You're going to get Jared Jones, and you've got this young stable of pitchers in AAA knocking on the door to come up. You need to find a way to be hanging around the damn thing when the reinforcements show up.
Right.
And you're really teetering on that not happening, and it's only 10 games in. So you need to win your first series of the season this week against St. Louis. It just has to happen. You got Majinski on the mound today. But then you got Skeens, and then you got Keller. And that's a team that's in a rebuilding phase themselves, the Cardinals, in however way that the Cardinals do it.
Mm-hmm.
They had 20,000 people show up in the ballpark for the second game of their season. It's the lowest attendance in their, quote-unquote, new ballpark's history. New Busch Stadium, lowest attendance, and it didn't look like there were 20,000 people there. So the people in St. Louis, they know what's up. They know this isn't going to be a very good baseball team this year. They're coming to your place. They just got shellacked. It's going to be cold. You got Skeens, you got Keller. Find a way to win the series.
Yes.
But that's the zeroing in on the nitty-gritty here. At large, I can't remember that much negativity ever at a Pirates game. I mean, seriously. I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's overstated. They were walking Bob Nutting through the concourse, and people are getting up pretty much in his face saying, sell the team. You had Derek Shelton get booed mercilessly.
There's a plane that flew over.
Yes.
That had sell the team on it.
Sell the team. There was sell the team merchandise. There was a guy wearing a Yankees jersey with Paul Skeen's name on it. And I think that guy is a local who was making a point.
His son plays on my son's basketball team. I know him.
Yeah, yes. I didn't know if you wanted to go there.
No, yeah. Great guy.
Seems like a funny dude.
Yeah.
Seems like he's sending a message. Not that he's supporting the Yankees, but that he's upset about the state of Major League Baseball and the team.
Absolutely.
Then Holderman gets introduced, and that poor guy, that guy got booed more than Shelton.
Sure.
And he's just some reliever who then, like, I don't think is hurt either. I'm just, maybe he is. He came out of the game kind of smarting a little bit, but like, probably said, yeah, good idea, send him to the IL. I can't remember it ever looking that way. Certainly not on opening day. And it's pretty easy to figure out why. If the Pirates didn't have Paul Skeens, you wouldn't have had the negativity. It would have just been, okay, the Pirates are back.
Yep.
And hey, we'll be optimistic because it's opening day, but we don't expect them to be very good. They were 76 and 86 the last 2 years. They haven't had a winning season in like 7 years. They haven't contended. They haven't been in the playoffs for a decade. And people would show up because it's baseball and they drink beers in center field. They eat hot dogs and it'd be cool. But because you got Skeens, you feel like the expectations should have taken a jump and you feel like the moves should have, you know, bolstered what should be a good starting rotation. And they did none of that stuff. And you trot Tommy Pham out there on opening day. God bless him. And so what you get is a cauldron. And there weren't as many Yankee fans there on opening day as I thought there were going to be. It was Pirates fans, and they wanted to show their displeasure, and my God, did they.
I feel like every year, like, there is a little bit of chatter, and you can feel it, like, in the air whenever the home opener does come around, that people are going to be upset. You know, people will say, like, don't show up to the games, don't spend money,
right.
You know, those type of people. But this is the most, and, I mean, last year, you know, didn't feel it really at all, maybe a little bit. But this is the first time where I felt where it was absolutely premeditated. Like, every single Pirates fan that was down on the North Shore, it felt like they all got together. Or, like, this is what we're going to do. It was the most premeditated, like, we are going to boo. We are going to show our frustration. We are going to try to get through. and voice our opinion of this franchise, of this club. It was premeditated, and I've never felt a atmosphere like that almost before everything got started. Like, not even giving it a chance. Nobody was.
That's exactly right.
It wasn't an odd feeling, but it was like, man, like,
people were down there having toxic. A good time, and there were tons of tailgaters. The bars were all jam packed. A ballpark, 38,000 people were there. Like, it felt from an attendance standpoint and from a party atmosphere standpoint like it always does, but there was this air of negativity over the entire thing, this palpable energy, the likes of which we can't remember seeing. Like, Steelers openers, I can't remember anything like that. Penguins openers, I can't remember anything like that. Other Pirates games, I just can't remember anything like that. And just anecdotally talking to people, walking around the ballpark, and then I was at a thing with my family, my brother-in-law's family yesterday, just a lot of negativity around the team. And that's what happens when you look a lot like you have the last couple of years, and everyone knew it was kind of coming.
Right.
And then it looks exactly like you thought. Like, it'd be one thing if they were inventing ways to lose. No, they look a lot like they did when they weren't playing good ball last year.
But you're absolutely right. Like, this all has to do with Paul Skeens and not surrounding him with the adequate talent. Like, and I feel like people are like, look, you brought this guy up last year, and when did he come up? April, May, whatever. And he gave you a shot in the arm. He gave you that jolt of adrenaline, and then you guys were doing decent. Like, it just seems like it's like common sense to want to add around somebody like that, and they didn't. And it's kind of like you're wasting this right in front of our face. You're like pushing this in front of our face, like saying, like, we don't care. I feel like that's the energy that I'm getting from people, is like, you're telling us we don't care, so we're going to show we don't care.
Right.
So, hey, this is what the situation is. We don't care if you don't care. So if you don't care, and we have a lot of passion here in Pittsburgh, we all know that. If you don't care, then let's move on. Like, let's get somebody in here that cares. That's the vibe that I got.
And you know, I'm sick because I'm hanging on every pitch yesterday. And they know that people, like, oh, we don't care. No, you do. It's not apathy. It's anger. It's frustration. And I'm watching yesterday, and I wanted them to win. Of course I want them to win. And I want them to beat St. Louis. I want them to take 2 out of 3 and get this season up and going. Because it ain't up and going yet. And it might never get up and going. But I want to see it get up and going. And I want them to be in it at the deadline like they were last year. Like, last year felt like a step, at least.
Yep.
Right? 2 years ago, they had the 20-8 start, but, you know, it was kind of smoke and mirrors, and they were running like crazy. They're doing that this year, which is good. And Sawinski had a really clutch stolen base in the 10th inning yesterday afternoon. They were running all over the place, and the starting rotation looked good, and you had Hill on the mound throwing 64 miles an hour, but he's flummoxing dudes, and they're getting out, and it was fun. And then they took a step last year through 107 games. They're right there smack dab in the middle of it, and they were buyers-ish at the trade deadline. And you kind of figure when you go out, and even though they weren't huge names, you get IKF and you get De La Cruz, at least you tried to do something. At least you thought you were upgrading the club. Not in a way that would be satisfying, but like upgrades. And then this offseason, they do nothing of the sort. So I get the sentiment. I do. And I echo it. Still want them to win.
Yep.
412-928-9370. There are some positives. And you know, we load up on them, and we're, I think, rightfully critical. But I do think there are some signs, not that they could turn it around, but there are some things that are going well for this club. We'll get to those coming up next. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your concerns at 412-928-9370. Oh, and then there's the whole Clemente thing.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply. Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
3-2 to Aaron Judge. Strike three call. Frozen with a down and away fastball. Heaney strikes out Judge again. Six strikeouts for Heaney through three. Here's a 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. And Heaney with another strikeout. Seven already today. Heaney rears back and fires. And a curve in and he went. Dominguez called out on strikes. Eight strikeouts for Andrew Heaney through four innings. 3-2. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Threw the fastball by him at 89. Nine strikeouts for Heaney.
What?
Swing and a miss. Strikeout number 10 for Andrew Heaney. That ties the most ever by a Pirates pitcher against the Yankees.
So we could talk about the development of position players being bad because it has been, and it's year six of the Charrington, Derek Shelton regime. They always seem to find a lefty dude.
They do.
Who absolutely deals, man. Or just pitchers in general. I mean, they had Quintana, who was good. Hill, who was pretty good for them. Velasquez, who was good. And then Heaney now, who had a bad spring. But we said at the time, hey, listen, Bailey Falter, another guy. He had a bad spring. He had a bad start to his Pirates career. He had a not great start to his career at large. And then he wound up being really good for the Pirates. Yeah, I know Velasquez was right-handed. Thank you, Callis. I said pitchers in general.
In general,
too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I always love the Callis correction that is unnecessary.
Usually it's on air. Because
right. I didn't know what you were saying.
Usually it's on air.
Oh, that wasn't on the air. That was just in my head. Yeah, it's... You're going to have plenty of opportunities to get me, my man. You don't have to worry. You don't have to jump. You don't need a false start. You'll get four or five chances today. You're like, just today. You'll probably get 30 over the course of a week. Yeah, they've done a good job of getting this guy. And of all the moves that they didn't make this offseason, you know, this guy got brought in and people were like, ah, you don't need another pitcher. No, you always need another pitcher. So we liked it at the time. And he's looked really good through two starts. I think the rotation's still going to wind up being good. Like, Mitch Keller had a problem with the Yankees. Okay. So does everybody.
Yeah.
Bailey Falter was really good until he wasn't against the Yankees because, well, it's the Yankees. And that doesn't mean that they can't go out there and throw zeros like Heaney did, because obviously he shows that you can, but he's a guy who comes from the AL. He's not scared of Aaron Judge. In fact, he's done well against Judge in his career. So there's a bright spot. I'm just going to throw a few bright spots out there real quick.
All right.
A nice catch by O'Neal Cruz.
There was a nice catch.
Before the bad play.
Correct.
Key Brian Hayes hitting 257, 744 OPS. These aren't all-world numbers, but Doran, I would sign in blood for him to do that the whole season.
Yes, if he stays consistent like that, and you would hope that everybody else figures it out and tries to raise their level, obviously, to get to his level. And we said coming into the year, and we said it last year too, if he could just play average baseball, this team will be better. So at least he's doing his part right now. Hopefully, like you said, that he can continue to hit the way he is.
So the rotation, mostly good, and I think will continue to be good. Key Brian Hayes looking pretty good. IKF's actually hitting the ball well. He looks more like he did last season in Toronto than he did last season as a Pirate. So there's a few bright spots. Brian Reynolds has been hurt. He hit the double yesterday, which he hit the hell out of. Maybe he's coming around. So some reasons for optimism. I'm not planning a parade. You can hear in my tone,
right.
I'm not going over the top, but things to be maybe not excited about, but happy about. As for the bullpen, boy, Colin Holderman on the IL and David Bednar sent down 10 games into the season. That's your 8th and 9th inning guys, and they both stink so bad that they're not on the club right now.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's very, very bad. Top of the next hour, we'll get an Alexander Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, all the great stuff going on in the league for a couple of old heads. But right now, we want to hear from you on the Buccos at 412-928-9370. Joe in Heidelberg. What's up, Joe?
What's up? Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So, you know, my biggest thing is I'm a diehard Buccos fan, and consistently I feel like Shelton, Sherrington, they just lie to us. They lie that all the pieces are there for a good baseball team. Just be honest. Just say we need more. Like, we need more bats. We need more relief pitching. Just be honest, and the city will be perfectly fine for it. But fine with it, I should say. But it just feels like such a waste to have a talent like Paul Skeen and them not be able to put a team around him.
I get that, Joe. They're not going to do what you want them to do because they both know the score too. They both know they're in year six.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter what they have. It shouldn't, in their eyes, like. If you don't win this year, you're probably not going to be back next year. Like, I would be shocked if this team finishes under 500 and both of them are back. I don't think either of them would be back.
No.
And I think if this thing spirals to the point where the Pirates are like 21-35 or something, I do think that Derek Shelton might be like, go mid-season.
Yes.
They're not going to do that with the general manager, I wouldn't think, mid-year. But I would think that Derek Shelton's very much on the hot seat right now.
Maybe they do believe that they can win with the guys that they have. I mean, we don't know. Maybe they are telling us the truth, and they do believe they're just off base with it, or they're just out of touch with reality of what you need to win at the major league level. I mean, I'm sure that they know deep down, but I mean, what are they going to say? Like, maybe they're telling,
right.
Maybe they're talking themselves into believing it. Like, what are they going to say whenever they don't make other moves? Like,
Shelton,
we believe in our guys.
I think Shelton believes that they can win.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I heard him after yesterday's game in the post game, and he said, yeah, you think about that Marlins series, we had to lead in every game until we lost the game. And he's right, but it's also the Marlins, man.
Exactly.
Like, it'd be one thing if you battled tooth and nail against the Yankees in a four-game set and you had to lead in every game, and then lost 3 out of 4, and you go, damn, well, it's the Yankees, let's regroup, let's do the little things, and we'll be fine. Now it's the Marlins. One more little thing that they did do well yesterday, or at least one play in particular, was Jack Suwinski swiping that bag in the 10th inning. I mean, that took balls, that took guts, they continue to run, keep doing it.
Does O'Neal Cruz still lead the Major League Baseball in stolen bases?
I'm on it, Google it, Crowley.
He's got to be at the top. So, I mean, at least, like you just said, at least that they're trying to play the small ball and they're executing that most of the time.
Yeah, and I like that. He still is. Yeah, he's leading the league with 7 steals. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is 6th in the league in steals. Look where Jazz Chisholm is. He's 12th. Wish that guy was a Pirate.
Yep.
They were close, according to them. 412-928-9370. A couple of texters saying, if you really want to send a message, don't go to the games. I mean, if you don't want to go to a game, don't go to a game. Like, this is what I say all the time. If you don't want to go, I totally get it. Don't shame the people who do want to go, who do like a day or a night at the ballpark, who do want to take their kids, or who might, on a Friday, after having a long week, want to unwind and have a couple of Miller Lights in center field, a couple of Icy Lights in center field, a couple of Fathead Brews in center field, and just enjoy themselves.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. Not going ain't going to change a damn thing. When they're bad, we don't go. Haven't gone. Because that's the case in any town when you've got a bad baseball team and you're going to have 81 of those things. When they're bad, people ain't going to go. And it's not going to make the owner sell the team, guys. So, like, do you like baseball or not? Like, you not spending $100 at a game ain't going to change things.
Uh-uh.
If you don't want to go, I'm not going to tell you to go. But don't shame the people who do. Like, someone was blowing up sent like 40 texts last week across all the shows. You guys are complicit if you go to the game. Doesn't do anything, man. A banner flying above center field on a plane doesn't do anything.
No.
Booing the owner, the manager, the relief, it doesn't do anything. Just saying. 412-928-9370. There's also the Clemente thing, which we'll get to coming up next. A couple of callers on hold. We'll get to you, too. Texas brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can also tweet us at @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran, @Callis_33. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. I've hit a nerve with people. Here's a text. We know the Pirates aren't paying you to say that about attending horrible overpriced baseball, so that means you must be an idiot. What you said is ridiculous. Seriously, people, do what you want. I'm not telling you to spend money. But it's not going to make a difference. It takes a simple Google search. I go back 2022. So the first regular season after the COVID. I feel like I'm 150
the
years
COVID.
Old. The COVID. They had 15,000 people there. On average, 15,000 people a game. 15,000. We just told you earlier, St. Louis had 20,000 people there on Tuesday last week for their second game. That's the lowest attendance in that ballpark's history for a game. And you averaged 15,000 people. Did they sell the team? Oh, we got a boycott. You are. You have.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So if you want to watch baseball, go watch baseball. If you don't, don't. But like this idea that you think that you're going to boycott this team and it's going to change anything. I hate to be defeatist for you out there. It's not going to do anything.
They're clearly not listening. Like, I mean, and not no franchise does. Like, no ownership or team, professional team listens to the fans, honestly, at the end of the day. They're going to think, they're going to do what they feel is right. And even if it's wrong. And I don't feel like you're sitting here telling people that you should go to the games.
No.
You're saying do what you want.
Do what you want.
Do what you want.
If you, I'm not a guy who likes to boo any team, but I don't tell people not to boo. Go
right.
Boo. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your disposable income. You can make that determination for yourself. Maybe you don't want to spend it on the Pirates. Totally fine. It doesn't offend me. Why would it offend me? But it shouldn't offend you whenever I say if you want to go, go. Texter, one more. Just one more. That's what it takes. Organized dissent. Telling people on a radio station nothing matters that you do is so insanely irresponsible. Irresponsible? Get a grip. We're talking about baseball, for God's sakes.
Wait, do people really think that it'll work if they don't go to games? Like, that's where I'm at. Like
that, and it's just wrong. I get the sentiment. I do, but it's just wrong. 15,000 people were going 3 years ago, and nothing happened. Like, Texter, it will change. You're a fool. Okay, agree to disagree. I mean, you think they're going to sell the team? All right, then. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. They did step on a rake, though, this weekend. Like, not just on the field where they give up, 19 runs to the Yankees over the first two games, but the whole Clemente thing. And Travis Williams released a statement, and I'll read it now. "We did not intend to disrespect the legacy of Roberto Clemente by adding the advertisement to the pad in right field. When we added the advertisement to the pad, it was an oversight not to keep the 21 logo. This is ultimately on me, not anyone else in the organization. It was an honest mistake. We will be adding the number 21 logo back to the pad," he went on. I buy it, that it was an honest mistake. They just don't get the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, do you really think...
Obviously, they weren't like, hey, let's cover up the logo.
But they obviously took it down. Like, yep. Whenever you're in the process of taking something down, don't you kind of look at it like, huh, maybe I shouldn't take this down?
Well, you would think,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a mistake, because you have to, a mistake is like not knowing, in my opinion. Like, you knew what you were doing.
I don't know. If Travis Williams, I don't know how it works
from a
business standpoint there. So does he, I mean, whoever sells it, they sell the space. And I'm guessing Travis ain't standing there, or the powers that be ain't standing there as they put the thing up. You know, I do believe that they just totally didn't think about it. But that's not okay. Wow. Of course that's not okay. Like, you are three games into your home schedule, and there's a statement being released by Roberto Clemente Jr. No good. Can't happen. Indefensible. Not trying to defend it. It's just one of those things that makes you go, really?
I mean, like, you can say all you want that, you know, it was a, you know, an oversight. Like, we misjudged the situation. We didn't really think about it thoroughly. But I think it just comes down to that the advertiser probably spent a significant amount of money to have it.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, okay.
And that's no, that's not some great sin, but like, put the advertisement around the logo.
Yep.
Maybe scooch the logo.
Yep.
Find a way to make those things coexist. You need to make money. Every franchise needs to make money. For sure, no problem there. It's Roberto Clemente. It's the logo.
And everybody is looking for something.
Correct.
Now, like, you have the target is as big as it's ever really been right now. Like, everybody's looking for something to complain about. So you kind of cross your T's and dot your I's on everything. Like, if you're this organization, and this was just another reason for people to complain. Is it that big of a deal? I don't know.
If it happened to another franchise, it's still, there would still be press releases. There still would be like an all-time great someplace else. The family would still probably say something. But if it was a winning baseball team that does everything else on the up and up, you forget about it in the
right.
day.
Right.
Here, you just add it to the laundry list, and I totally get that. Texter, Crowley, you're wrong about the boycott. You get it to 5K, they'll feel it. 15, still too many. It's not getting to 5K, man. Like, it's not going to. Like, that's the point. They're not walking 5,000 people on average through those turnstiles every year. They're just not. There's bobbleheads, there's beers, there's hot dogs. It's just not going to happen. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see something like that happen. I'm not, believe me. But I think it's like pie in the sky, childlike belief that you're going to boycott games and then things are going to change. And I understand why people are mad, because you feel powerless. This thing that you love, and clearly you love it, and that's why you're mad, ain't going to change. I get that. I'm in the same boat. It's just unrealistic.
I mean, has that ever happened in sports where the attendance have declined so much because of hatred?
I'm sure we could find examples, but people are texting in like, what if it happens year after year of bad attendance? Folks, it is happening. It has happened year after year of bad attendance. Even in 13, they weren't selling out every game. I mean, they were great crowds. I think it was a top five attendance in Pirates history. Like, when they win, people show up. When they don't, we generally don't. The TV ratings are always good, but We do not attend. 30,000 people ain't going to these games every night. They're just not. 20,000 people ain't going to these games every night.
So people are just going to, you know, boycott and whenever Skeens is on the mound too? Like,
that's
not
what
go to
it,
games?
That's what it would take.
I don't think that'll ever happen. People will still go to see him play.
Of course. Because he's a once-in-a-generation guy. And I'm not going to begrudge people for going and watching it. It's just, I feel bad for Pirates fans. I am a Pirates fan, because you go, you boo, and then you say, like, let's fly the banner and all this. And, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. happy Monday. 412-928-9370. More on the Pirates later in the show. The Great Eight breaks Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. We'll get to that coming up at 7 o'clock. But tonight, you've got the college basketball championship game at 8:50, which we'll bitch about. But it's the loss of Duke that we really need to zoom in on, because I don't think there are franchises in professional sports or brands in collegiate sport that people like to watch lose more than that one. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Still no Aaron Rodgers. We'll get into that with Mark Aboli at 9 o'clock. He joins us every Monday from 9 o'clock until 10. There's some Jackson Dart fodder, though. Some Jalen Milroe stuff, which we'll get into probably in the 8 o'clock hour. But in about 10 minutes here, Alexander Ovechkin breaks really what we all probably thought was an unbreakable record. What's it all mean? What's it mean for Sidney Crosby? That's on the way. But tonight, Doran, you got the national championship in the NCAA tournament. You got Houston, you got Florida. Houston down 6 with 33 seconds to go. Down 14 with 8 minutes to go. And they beat the Duke Blue Devils. Do you think there's a team that people love to see lose more than Duke?
Nope.
Nah.
Nope.
And Cooper Flagg, man, he had an opportunity there. It wasn't the cleanest of looks, but that's a shot he makes a lot.
A lot.
Curls right at the foul line, basically, and just comes up short online. I mean, damn. When he let it go, you could tell it was going to be short, but when he made the move, I thought he was ending the thing.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was money.
Yeah.
I was like, this is exactly how it's going to end. You just could feel that. But then whenever it left his hand, it was like, oh, no, he's going to miss.
He's going to miss it.
Oh, man.
And then Houston just rebounds the hell out of the thing. Should Flagg come back? I'd come back, man.
Absolutely. You know, he should be in high school right now. He's 18 years old. And, you know, with the way the NIL is now, a guy like him, and it's not like football. Like, you can get injured in basketball, I understand, but it's not like football where you need, like an insurance policy. Like, you could get severely injured in football if you don't leave and miss out on a huge opportunity of going to the next level. You know, all he's going to do is grow. He's going to get better. And I saw a video of him on that golf cart, and they were like kind of riding him after the game, riding him through the, you know, the concourse or whatever to go to the locker room. He had that look on his face like, oh, man, this is going to sit with me all off-season.
Unfinished business.
Unfinished business, yeah. Yeah, with NIL now, he's going to make a bleep ton of money. Yeah, come back.
He'll
yeah,
be in national yes. commercials.
Oh, my God.
He's going to make money hand over fist. You got to go and try to win a national championship.
I think he's going to come back for sure.
I get the feeling he is, too. I mean, he's going to be, like you said, he's going to be the number one pick, even if it's not this year. Since January or something like that, he's shooting 43% from three. He's a 6'9" dude. He's got all the post moves. Like, there's nothing he can't do. He's blocking shots out there. He's a good defensive player. Like, he's going to be the number one overall pick, and he's going to make millions of dollars this year if he wants to go back to Duke. I think it's an easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the college experience. I mean, whatever his college experience looks like, I would advise him, go do that. Enjoy it. And there's a ton of responsibility on him, and I'm sure the fan base is looking at that entire team as a bunch of chokers, because really, one of the best rosters in Duke history, which is something to say.
Yes.
But they were, I mean, they don't even play for a national championship. If I'm him, I'm coming back and I'm finishing the job.
Yes, I am.
And I'm making money, and I'm meeting ladies, and I'm drinking beverages on campus, and I'm living my life, and then I'll take my talents to the NBA when I'm 20 years old, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I would look at the situation, too. Like, where would I go? Like, who would have the number one pick? You know? I think it was like the Jazz or something right now.
Good point.
Do I want to go play in Utah for the Jazz? I mean, who knows what the situation will be next year? Say it's like, I don't know, the Spurs or something. That's a little bit better. You know, like, I would look at that, too. Like, I don't want to go play for Detroit. You know, they wouldn't have that one pick. They're actually doing pretty good this year. But I would look at that. I think that everything weighs on the side.
Play with Bob Carrington in Washington.
Don't want to go there. Don't want to go there at all.
New Orleans, a great town. Philadelphia, get the fifth pick. I mean, it's a lottery, obviously.
Right.
But you're right. San Antonio. But you got to figure it out before the lottery, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd want. You imagine him and Wembanyama. Wembanyama.
Wemby.
There we go.
There you go. I think it's a... I think he's going to come back.
You got to come back.
Yeah.
And then the game tonight tips off at 8:50. And This is like low-hanging fruit, easy talk radio fodder, and we do it every year, but what are you doing?
Right.
Why? Right. And they do it in the college football playoff, too.
So late.
So late on a Monday. I don't understand. Why can you not tip the thing at 7? Oh, the West Coast. Who cares? 8 o'clock would be a nice little compromise.
Yes.
And I realize that we do what we do, and the people who are listening to us right now are people who wake up early for their job. Like people preaching to the choir.
Uh-huh.
Tip the thing off at 8. 8:50? What are we doing? One shining moment will be on at 1 a.m.
Yep. With all that said and done, I think Houston wins tonight, though. I've been riding Florida for like basically the whole tournament, but I just feel like Houston's just so tough to play against.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have that dog mentality. They clearly do. I mean, they have the best defense in college basketball they had all year.
They have for like 5 straight years.
Right. They rebound the hell out of the basketball, and they show that they can fight and come back and beat you. Like, that is, they're on one right now. I don't know Florida.
No, they almost feel like the team of destiny.
Yep.
Well, Florida had it tough with UConn in the round of 32, but nothing like that Duke game.
Uh-uh.
I mean, I think Duke had like a 96% win probability. Texter, no chance Flag stays. Number one pick, his coach told him to leave. Would be stupid to stay. Almost $14 million first overall. Come on, guys. What I'm saying is you're going to make that $14 million either way. And I mean, could he make 10 this year in college?
Probably.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for him at that place, the national brand. I think he could probably make $10 million bucks.
Well, with the revenue share, like, I mean, some of it's going to go to football. Football's a lot better for Duke, right? I mean, than they ever have been. Like, they are a decent team.
Yeah, they've been winning, like, 9 games consistently.
Right, but it's not, they're not a powerful football program. Like, the money's going to go to basketball in Cooper Flag.
And every year it can change.
Yeah.
So you got 20-ish, $20.5 million to spend if and when this thing passes this summer for rev sharing. Okay, why don't you throw $3 mil his way?
Yeah. I mean,
and then next year, if you want to go a little heavier into football, go a little heavier into football. It's Cooper damn Flag.
Right.
He'll make his money either way.
For sure.
It just depends on what you value. I wouldn't begrudge him for going to the NBA. Think your whole life you're going to the NBA.
I think he just has the world by the you-know-what right now, mm-hmm. so he has his options. Like, it's not like he needs to go to the NBA right now. He doesn't need to. He can stay and do the things he needs to do to finish his career as a Duke Blue Devil and then go to the NBA. That will always be there.
Yeah, it's not an either-or proposition here where he doesn't go this year, so then he's going to be the 5th overall pick instead of the 1st overall pick. No, he'll still be first.
Yeah.